We're going to talk about death this morning. Now, I want to ask you, do you think that's a depressing thing to talk about? Is it something to dread? Earlier this week, I was listening to a reenactment by a Marine Corps staff sergeant in Afghanistan who was a practicing atheist, hardcore, didn't believe in God. And according to him, about half of his platoon were either didn't believe in God or they really didn't even know. They were, had that mindset. Anyway, the reencountment was of, they were in a terrible gunfight, and it was so bad that the enemy had leveled, anti-aircraft weapons and was firing at them between the sand dunes. And he said that he had his back pressed up against a sand dune and he could see those tracers. It was nighttime and he could see those tracers passing by his body 4 or 5 inches. And he said he was holding in his breath so he wouldn't breathe in and one of those bullets catch him and spin him around, throw him out in harm's way. He said all these guys that were pressed up against that sand dune with him, the ones that didn't believe in God, just adamant that there was no God, he said they were all screaming out, God, God, you know. And perhaps Brother Matthew can tell you more about that type of thing. But the statement, you never find atheists in foxholes. I think there's a lot of truth to that, you know. Because the people that I've been around that have been on death's doorstep, that were openly had the viewpoint that there was no God, It's a sad thing to see them die because there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. It's just a terrible thing to witness. Webster's Dictionary defines it as a permanent cessation of all vital function, the end of life. The state of no longer being alive, the destroyer of life. I've got a problem with this definition. The end. And I think it reflects upon, the world's viewpoint in general of death. And it's becoming more and more prevalent in our times. Our times that are growing more godless and godless. This graph, he did a lot better job than I did up here, as you can tell. But this study was taken of 26,000 individuals randomly, consisting of atheists, agnostics, and those who profess the devout faith in Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior. And what was found on this survey was that those who had zero faith in God and those who had absolute faith in God both had the very least amount of fear concerning death. Those that were uncertain had a tremendous amount of fear about what laid ahead. But what this does not show you is at the point of death. This is a survey taken from people that are in the middle of their life. Okay? And we've got several people in here who've come close to death. What I've seen of the people that profess there is no God, at the point of death, it's no longer this, it's this. See what I'm saying? That's what it is. All these guys that at the end of their lives, they know they've got a little bit of time left. They know they're going to die. Well, they're interested in finding out about the Lord just in case. Just in case he exists, we want to cover that base. Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Over 50 times in the Bible, death is referred to as sleep, going to sleep, or David slept with his fathers. You see, death ain't the end. It's not the end. So, when you talk to somebody who's lost a loved one, and you run into these different opinions about who's responsible for death. Have you ever heard somebody that you knew real well and just they blame God? I don't understand why God took my father, took my husband, took my wife. I don't understand why God took my little child. Have you heard that? I've heard it many times, and if you ever go to a hospital and you see a family that has lost a loved one and does not have God, it's a terrible thing to witness. It is a terrible thing to witness. Yet, if you see a family who has a strong faith in God, now, we're not throwing a party. There's sorrow there. We're going to miss them. But the faith in God is what makes a difference at that point. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. Actually, if you look in the translation of the Hebrew, it's perfect. Death was not there. And the Lord God said unto the woman, now this is after we're all familiar with the tree that was commanded not to be eaten of. Eve succumbed to the serpent's temptation, ate of it, and then she gave to her husband, and he ate also. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is that that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between the seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and at thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now this is an artist's rendition of what paradise or Eden look like. You're familiar with the story of the Israelites when they went to the promised land, how it was full of milk and honey, these huge bundles of grapes, plenty. Have you seen it? Have you seen that today? Have you seen that very spot that was flowing with milk and honey? That's what it looks like today. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. We each are born. We each live our lives. If the Lord does not see fit to come back in the next 2 or 3 generations, we're going to have an appointment to meet. We're all going to meet it. And that's death. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So who's to blame for death? It's not God. Man. Man succumbed to Satan's temptation. God's not responsible for killing your dad. He's not responsible for taking a young child. He's not responsible. But the world would have you believe this, that he's responsible. The Lord wants you to live. He wants you with him. What happens next once we meet that date with death, when we pass from this life? Now, for many years I chose not to think about this because it was an unpleasant subject. I wasn't living my life right. I didn't want to think about death. You know? And that willful ignorance about it, you know, you find people, and I've talked to a lot of people in the church this week while I was putting this lesson together. And it amazes me how many people don't have a clear picture of what happens after we die. It's in Scripture. Luke chapter 23 and 39. Hanging on the cross, and one of the malefactors which were hanged held on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You will be with me in paradise. It's not heaven he's talking about. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Was carried into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that I might dip the tip of my finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You see, when we die, we're going to go to a place of torment. It's not the final punishment, or we're going to be comforted in Abraham's bosom, a place of peace. The Scripture speaks of it. There's no reason for us to be ignorant about it. Isaiah chapter 25 and 8 prophesies, He will swallow up death in victory. Our Lord and Savior has swallowed up death. He has defeated it. He's defeated sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's won the victory. You see, death isn't a thing to be dreaded. It's just the process of living. Psalms 116 and 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Have you ever known someone that just, you've heard them say, I'm ready to be with the Lord. I'm ready to go. And it's usually a person that's in a lot of pain, and sorrow, and they're just ready to go be with the Lord. I had my grandmother, Grandma Anna, she was a prolific writer of letters. And she would write me like clockwork twice a month. And I look forward to them letters. I mean, she just, you know, man, I look forward to them. The last couple of years, her letters became less frequent. And her writing was, you could barely read it. Those last five or six letters, she would always end them by saying, well, I sure hope to see you before I go, she said, because I'm ready to be with the Lord. I don't know what he's got for me here on the earth, but I'm ready to go be with him. We've known people like that. They don't dread it. Why don't they dread it? Because they know what's beyond. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 6, Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? There's going to come a day when those of you who are experiencing a lot of physical pain, you got back problems, you got knee problems, your whole body hurts. Heard it said many times, getting old ain't for sissies. It's true. You know, I'm knocking on 50. I don't get around near as good as I used to. I'm on blood pressure medication now. I'm telling you, getting old ain't for sissies. But there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day when the Lord's going to wipe away all your tears. There's going to come a day when there is no pain. No pain. Only goodness and mercy will exist. We'll be in the presence of God. one fine day. You see, so death is not to be feared. Many fond memories of a lot of people in here. I remember going down to the Martin place with Sean all the time, hunting and, you know, doing things that young boys do. I think y'all call it the ranch now, you youngsters do, but I remember spending a lot of pleasant times with Becky and David's having fun as a kid. I remember my grandfather teaching me how to drive a pickup. I remember the kindness and thoughtfulness that sheriff in Wheeler County showed me. His name was Joel Finsterwall. But you know what? Time has passed like that. It's gone. 50 years. Seems like yesterday. But none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. May never visit any of those things again. They're treasured memories. They are. But it'll be gone like that. Does that cause you concern? Do you have fear of that? Do you have uncertainty of that? It's a question we all should ask. Because we may not see tomorrow. If you have any fear in your heart, if you don't have Jesus in your life, we're here this morning. We can go to God in prayer, or we can get in the water.